You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
So did I
okay.
talk
Am
cut
I
out or fall off altogether?
I'll be clear, though. Just listening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks, Tim. There was a little bit of a double there. Not sure. I heard Donald say something about falling off or something like that. Go ahead and then see if Nick's in there now.
I was on my node until Warren. And did I drop out or fall off or something? Is that what happened?
No. We were just talking about the connection of the two systems, Central Michigan and the FBI. Nick, you know, TJ's machine, the transmitter's down, but the receiver works great. If you were trying to hear it, you ain't gonna.
Yeah, I was getting into the spot where I lose, usually the 2.6 gets a little swamped, and I'm right at 94.75, so trying to switch over, but didn't know it was half working, but that explains why nothing came back when I punched in what I needed to.
Good morning.
All right, well,
Tim.
You sound real solid now.
All right,
so
I just have a better understanding. Thank
your
you.
Your radio call changed a little bit. I don't know if you did something different, but... You're in well now.
And go ahead, Donald. I think you doubled with Sean.
Okay, my bad. All right, well, now I understand what happened, and, you know, I just was wondering my status. Okay, back to you, and then over to Sean. I think, I don't know, now this whole thing's all discombobulated, just like me. Where's my coffee? Should be ready by now.
That's all right, Donald. It'll get straightened out eventually. No, I was in that spot, Sean, between, like, grass and 75, where the 2.6 is a little picket fencing and scratchy really bad. So. Good now.
Yeah, and in retrospect, I think the difference is I switched repeaters and they have a little different audio quality. It's not you. I mean, your signal is all about you're getting into the Warn, but the fact that you sound a little different is on my end. Because I switched repeaters. Idiot. Anywho, pulling in here to my little area, got Tim Hortons and you got Tropical Smoothie and Starbucks, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts just down the street. So this is my big coffee decision intersection. Okay, I was the first one to this intersection. All right, Starbucks it is. Donald.
Plain, black, boring coffee for me this morning. I got to get to Kroger's and buy some hazelnut coffee and other things to get back to what I usually like to drink in the winter. Hazelnut coffee, non-dairy hazelnut creamer, and chocolate milk in my big 24-ounce Contigo thermal mug thingamajiggy. And that'll be coming up soon because wintertime is coming. And that's what I like in the wintertime, hazelnut coffee.
No coffee for this guy. Never have. Never liked the taste of it. I'll make it for you all day long, but I don't like the taste of it. No, just trying to wrap up this project in the next day. It's been a journey, let's put it that way. About 3 blocks from the destination here. goes first, right out of the gate, is done.
Okay, I'm just ordering coffee. I hope I'm not out of turn here. So I didn't hear your last one there, but as I'm sitting here in line waiting to get my coffee, I'm looking at the shark fin antennas on the car just like mine ahead of me. That reminds me, man, I got to figure out how to do an antenna on my new car. I'm going to run a tri-bander. I'm going to try to get 800 in the car as well. And I got to get one of those shark fins, see if I can tear it apart, figure out what's in it, figure if I can do an NMO up there in the hole. But I understand the hole's bigger than a 3/4, so what's a boy to do? Donald?
Well, I've been kind of looking out, you know, at some things as well, and, you know, there's companies like MobileMark and, you know, outside the normal antenna companies like Browning and Tram and some Motorola stuff, and I'm looking at MobileMark for antennas, and, I mean, I get these companies from where they have to do custom work in racing, and, I'm hearing the problems you're having, and that's why I think I sent you some information about compact antenna and how those antennas mount off to the side in the corner of a rooftop. Just trying to throw a suggestion or something maybe helpful out your way. So if I see something, I'll send you something that might help. But, yeah, you got definitely a dilemma too. And I don't know how important those shark fin antennas are to the rest of the vehicle. Besides running your GPS and music systems and so on and so forth, if you start tearing one of those apart or taking them out, then what's a boy to do, so to speak?
Yeah, nope, I still got the two NMOs on here, one for each day, but they look pretty good. The installer did an excellent job of location, and it works fine. Well, I just docked here at the O, so I'm going to go in and get her started so I can get out of here on time today. So we will catch you this afternoon after 3. Good day. 7-3. It'll be 8 in the
All right. We'll catch you later. Have fun. Yeah, my problem is I got that stupid moonroof or sunroof or whatever the hell they call it, panoramic roof. I wouldn't order one, but I didn't have a lot of choice in the matter. I mean, I don't mind having it, but boy, it makes it kind of very difficult. So I'm trying to work with what little bit of roof real estate I got. So otherwise, there'd be a hole already in the darn thing and a radio installed.
Is the glass drillable at all?
Did you ask if the glass was drillable?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how thick it is compared to sheet metal or other things, you know. And if you have any, wiring running through it for, defrosting or anything like that, I don't know nothing about these, you know, panoramic moonroofs. I'm just trying to think of options because... Going back to my racing stuff, you know, cars are mainly carbon fiber now, and or fiberglass, and mounting antennas, we have to put ground planes, those 6-inch, 8-inch metal plates, they go on the underside of the roof panel of a race car in order to create a ground plane for these quarter wave and half wave antennas that they use in racing, and I'm just trying to figure out an application. Where maybe a ground plane could be put in place somewhere or somehow and do it that way. But I don't know. Like I say, I'd have to talk to my guys, and they could probably come up with something. They're kind of good at customizing things for custom applications like that.
Well, I can tell you, not many people have more experience with it than I. And I've never in my life seen anybody drill glass. No, that's not an option. We've built ground planes. That's pretty common. But
never drilled glass. We've got on-glass antennas that are pretty crappy. They utilize the glass, so then it sets up the capacitance of the glass, and they work that into the design of the antenna. But that's a whole different kettle of fish. Anywho, I am pulling up here at work. I'm going to get parked. I will listen out as I'm parking. And probably be out and about in a little bit here.
Well, I got to get vertical, have my coffee, start my day, even though there's nothing to do today, really important. Like I said, I got dental tomorrow. But so I don't know. And there was no physical therapy yesterday because of the holiday. So, yeah, I'll just probably just fumble around, unpack my backpack from the weekend, and, that's about it here. So, all right, you have a good day. Like I said, I'm just trying to talk to my guys, and, they've done a lot for my work over the years. They've customized cables and things like that. They just do a lot of custom work in any kind of application, and, because the composites that are used in racing are, no different than anything else. But then again, in all due respect, I know you've been doing this a lot longer and you're a lot more professional. But, I'm just trying to come up and find that needle in the haystack that you need to make this thing work for your new car. Have a great day, and we'll catch up with you sometime later. W8RCY, coffee. Where's the coffee?
W8FU.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It looks like it's going to be a great, cool day.
Yeah, maybe. Who else was in there? There was somebody who was a little noisy.
KCAK Joe. Sorry, I was sitting on Richmond Stone.
Well, good morning. Just heading out. I got some driving around to do today, so gonna be in and out.
The bus drivers are getting antsy this morning. One of them just said, don't you guys all just shut up and get off the damn radio?
I have Flint and I don't know where from there. Well, I got one in Shanghai. It's not arrived on my page yet. But that's a whole 20 minutes worth. So let's see if that changes.
Well, I've got to go. We're building a new fire station. I got to go scope that out. I got to go look at some of our cars we're sending to auction, see if I can steal a shark fin antenna off one so I can dissect it and see what's inside, what makes it tick. And then I got another meeting. So meetings all day. Driving around. Fred, where are you at today?
I'm actually home. I'm looking at my calendar. My afternoon has got multiples overlapping on it, but my morning is clear. Not really, I mean, the calendar is clear, but like, I have a stack of stuff behind me that I can now address this morning, but I'm just finishing up while going through my email. But I don't have appointments till this afternoon, and even then I got a couple that overlap. I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna, yeah. No, I should be home today. Tomorrow might be a different story, but today I'll be here.
I gotta go look at cameras. And they're like, clean the lenses. I'm like, what? I don't have a list, so I gotta scope out and see exactly what the issue is. And then maybe do that inspection at Warren, but we'll see. So where are you flying? You're going all over the place, Sean? and those little shark fins. Oh, that's, they kick when you put power to them.
Man, I see a lot of shark fins. They are all over the place.
I got it.
There we go. Oh, man, that's a GM. I was going to say, there's a wreck. I don't really want to pull one off of a car that's otherwise fully intact. But I do need to get one off of a Ford. I got all sorts of Fords here, but these all look nice. This is a nice car's going to auction.
You don't run all over the state. You have your kingdom in your little county. I think I got a... You're talking like the little UHF shark fin antennas, or are you talking like the ones, the bigger shark fins you see on cars now?
The factory shark fin. Ford uses one pretty much across the entire fleet. And, I want to get inside one and see what's in there. I'm being led to believe that it's a that it's GPS and satellite radio. That's all they do up there. And I want to see what the insides look like. I want to see if there's a way we can work with that whole mess, get an NMO mount up in there somehow.
I think they're, like you said, satellite radio, GPS, you know, like telemetry kind of stuff. I mean, because my 2016 doesn't have GPS or the, whatever you want to call it, telemetry, no, satellite radio. Doesn't have any of that. But I think I got a shark fin back there. I have to look.
Well, I've done quite a bit of research on it to this point. I'm down to the actual physical. The one that's on the current Fords has two coaxial cables coming off of it. There's no power wiring. There's no extended wiring. There's two RF coaxial cables coming off of it. And it looks to me like there's two... There's a circuit board kind of an affair, and there's a, some people have described it as one of them is just a typical GPS button, and toward the front and toward the back where the fin is, it's almost a log periodic design using a circuit board for the Sirius XM. So I got to get inside one and look.
Is the goal to replace it or just add on to it without drilling extra holes?
That's pretty much it. I want to see if, you know, I was thinking if you could make a custom bracket that you would lift that off and then lay down a bracket that was cut exactly to the base dimensions, sandwich it in there, and then that could go out front or out back of the thing, come up, go out, and then you can put an NMO, you know, on that. That might be one way to do it. So I just want to see what I got to, you know, what's going on there, if you wanted to add an NMO. Oh, and by the way, I might need to talk to you about getting a couple of radios activated under your flag.
Are you really leaving? You can't leave now.
No, but these radios, a couple of Johnsons or Kenwoods, I need to get them fired up, and I want them to be active down the road. And I'll talk to you about it anyhow. So we can chat.
More toys. All right.
Yeah, probably come with some MOUs and stuff to the group. So, anyhow, we need to do the cocktail napkin level discussions. Whole bunch of Canadian geese here in the green space between westbound and eastbound 59, just chillaxing. That is a bad road for them to just be chillaxing on. They get their old cocky kind of like, you don't tell me what to do, walk across the road, and there'll be Canadian geese feathers all over.
Got to respect the Canadian gooses.
They don't care about no tariffs.
We'll show you how we think about your tariffs. We'll be dumping our crap over here.
Oh, I'm going to drop a little Lake Ontario right here. Yeah.
Hey, we can use it for drone delivery. Cobra chicken air, that's what they'll call it.
I'm waiting for the first Amazon drone to take out a Canadian goose, start an international incident.
You see the Amazon 767 that crashed that couldn't stop on the runway and took out like five cars, killed five people.
I heard the ATC transcript. I'm not surprised by the pilot.
I heard about it. I was just listening to Fox and they said something about it, but not much detail. KCQQ.
Well, last I read about it while I was enjoying my morning glory, I was reading on my phone. They're still investigating everything. They haven't interviewed the pilots yet, and they're still investigating. They've got Miami Airport. They got two out of so many lanes, runways shut down, and they're canceling flights and rerouting and everything like that. So it's just a big mess still. So it's all unfolding. The NTSB is figuring it all out. But the Bezos Brigade. Crack out the checkbook.
Yeah, but it's under a completely different company, even though it says it on the side. It's all no different than the Amazon vans and the Amazon drones. They're really not owned by them. They're all LLCs.
100%. It's the same with FedEx. Even though it's a FedEx facility, there's independent contractors for delivery. If you look at the side of the delivery truck, you'll see that.
Yeah, but that won't matter to the lawyers for the deceased. They're going to go right for the big Amazon sign. Deepest pockets. They will find a way to make it Bezos' problem.
I wish them luck. Because if they can unveil that and get after that, that'd be good. Because they, as far as land, other land assets and air assets, nobody's done it yet.
I agree. Like you said, yes. Amazon. Basically, hired the director. I'm sure the contractor too has some answers to questions to answer in regards to the qualifications of the pilots, who owns the plane. So you can hang on that one, Sean. Somebody's going to pay it and pay yearly.
Well, Tom, you're getting quite flaky there. Your signal is not great. Anyhow, hey, there's the Golden Butthole on my way to my first stop here this morning. And that's the big butthole, not the little one. But, no, they'll do, well, it was their,
it's the pressure that Amazon puts on these privates to, you know, do this and do that if they want to keep the contract. It's unreasonable, and therefore they were, you know, blah, blah, blah. They'll trust me. They'll find a way to find those deep pockets. You know it.
100%. Call me now. I'm on warrant.
That seems better. They're talking about it now on the radio. They're saying these EMAS, this stuff that a lot of airports have, that's like foam barriers that they put in to slow the planes down, keep them from overrunning the runway. They're saying that would have prevented it. So, be a good time to invest in companies that produce the EMAS barriers.
Yeah, but that has limits. It's meant for, it isn't meant if you're not, if your brakes go out completely or you're not throwing your reversers in, it isn't going to stop that. And for that distance, it wouldn't have, it would have slowed it maybe, but not, you know.
Well, what I'm hearing is that that's all they really would have needed. So, I don't know. You can bet there'll probably be a mandate. Every airport's got to have them. I think it's if you're 1,000 foot, you don't have to have them. That's the way it goes now.
I don't know. Well, DPW has these berms that are pretty high up. I mean, you can't see into the runway when you're driving past them. I think that's what they use. People within the confines of the AOA.
What's scary is it ran into the Tesla parking lot. All those Teslas, and I'm sure Dave poured one out for them. He took me for a ride this weekend in his.
Oh man, how do you rank? You had Dave time?
I had a whole afternoon of just Dave and I, and it was kind of nice. We just, after we played with his Tesla, we just sat outside in the chairs and had a really good afternoon. It was really nice.
Well, this so what, Craig, you went on one of those little puddle jumpers?
Very good.
That when you look at the flight radar, that it just circles around for a bit and then lands again?
But we got to get together. That was about the extent of it.
You guys mixed.
Go ahead, Tom. I jumped the gun.
No, that was the other way around. I jumped the gun. It was Fred, then you, then it was supposed to be me, and I keyed up a little too faster, so my apologies. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I just, I talked to Dave's birthday the other day. I talked to him, and we said we got to get together soon, and that was about the extent of it, so. It's, he's been a busy bee, boy, I'll tell you what.
Okay, now my turn. Sorry about that, John. So, Fred, what is it? Is it a little pole jumper that he's got, or do you got one of those little fancy leers?
He's got a Tesla. Model Y. Blacked out really nice, or darked out, they called it. But he's got, it has the FSD and all that, and the 2,000 miles or whatever he's got on it, only 200 of it has been him driving it. It's driven 95% of itself since he's gotten it. So we let old Elon put our lives, I put my life in Elon's brain's hands. And yeah, it was interesting.
So does it do from parking space to parking space? To what level can you let it take the wheel?
Wait till you see the Wavo trucks that are coming out. That's going to be a unique experience.
I'll send you the video, Sean. I made a little video of him talking to his car. But yes, he said, let's go to McDonald's. And out it went with my driveway. It did not, however. It parked at the brunch spot next to McDonald's, but it got around it. It got confused with trying to get into the McDonald's in Grand Blanc, but it was there, but it wasn't. It was like it made it through the roundabouts. And he had it in Mad Max mode, so it was aggressive. I'm like, oh, it feels like I'm driving down in Detroit.
Well, you know what? What I guess is interesting to me is I can see how it will, you know, it could pull out of your parking spot and start the trip. But how does it know, like, when you get there, you know, to find a parking spot? I suppose it could do that. But, yeah, interesting. My car is, what do they call it? Assisted driving, so it'll stay in the lane, it'll adjust its speed up and down, it'll do the cruise control with, full stop and all that stuff. It's about as close to, self-driving as you can get without being self-driving. It's definitely not self-driving. Oh, so you got lane assist and adaptive cruise control. That's what it is. My daughter's got that on her Fusion Hybrid. That's a really nice feature. I actually enjoy that one.
Oh, yeah, this is a $100 a month FSD, and I guess if it were, he's going from Ann Arbor to Detroit every day almost, so makes his commute. He says it helps on his, he just wants to do its commutes and those things. So I guess if you're doing stuff like that, $100.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Okay, wait a minute. Ann Arbor to Detroit every day. Why is he in Ann Arbor every day? Did he move?
Yeah, because she was spending $500 a month in gas to come to stay at his place, so he's been staying at her place.
I didn't realize he was in Ann Arbor. Yeah, okay. So he still got the place downtown, and he still works downtown. So, I mean, he's commuting either way, right? He's either commuting out there, or he's commuting from out there, you know, so I guess it doesn't really change any way you slice it up.
Yeah, it was, oh, damn it, it was one of our topics, sorry.
That's pretty unique, though. I mean, you have to admit, you can talk to the car talks to you. It's like Knight Rider, but newer.
Yeah, sorry. And his Grok has an attitude, or his car had an attitude, and it was hilarious. It dropped the F-bomb, but it was, where's my phone? I'm sending you this, Sean.
Well, sounds like fun. Anyhow, I am at my destination. I'm going to get inside and start my, it took me longer to get here than I had expected, although I'm still ahead of schedule, so I will be back in a while. I look forward to seeing the video. All right.
I'll make this my last. W8FU.
73, Sean, KKKK. I'll throw it over to Fred for a 73.
All right. It's on its way. W8FSA. Having some Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its? Oh, I got me some. Post-its cupcakes and type of protein drink. A bunch of snacks. Got fudge last weekend. Not the fast one, but the one prior.
Nope. Cheez-Its and my Monster. Breakfast of champs. All right. I'm going to turn my music on and start typing. Oh, my fingers are warmed up. W8FA.
All right, enjoy the day. Don't work too hard. I got the dew off the window, stopped by the office, and Auburn Hills, and headed up the plane. KCKGO.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
John, KWJ.
Rick, how are you doing this morning?
Thanks, sir. Fat, dumb, and ugly. How about yourself?
Hey, man, we must both be on the same bus. Out and about a little bit today. Had a couple of stops made here this morning. Now I got to run back to the ranch, check a few emails and a couple other things. Maybe get a full tank of gas, then I got to head off and get back on the road again. So a lot of running around the next day or two.
Well, that's okay, except for the traffic there. At least you're not in the 90s there and sweating your butt off. Well, you probably got air, but still, every time you get out of the car, you fry.
Oh, yeah, quite comfortable now. Not bad at all. So, just a lot of traffic, though, where I'm at for kind of on some back roads, heading back to my shop from one of my locations. And quite a bit more traffic for this time of the day. You wouldn't think there'd be a lot.
Where is your shop, if you don't mind my asking?
If you go, like, M59 to North Avenue or Grosbeck, and I'm just a little south of that, about a mile south of that. I don't know if you know where the Macomb County Jail is on Grosbeck and Elizabeth, but right there.
Oh, okay, that's too far from Warren, so you don't usually have a real long drive.
Nah, about 25 minutes in, and I usually just go off to Quinner and take 16-mile road across and then run up Grosbeck. But today I'm at Sterling Heights Police right now, just leaving there. So that's kind of because of the Clinton River, you got to kind of snake around. You got to drop down, take 17, loop around on Shaner and get around the river. So it's just kind of funky getting over to my shop from here.
I used to fish that river a lot, only up by Yates Cider Mill.
Yeah, I see a lot of people doing that,
and all the time. I always wondered, if they look like they were fly fishing out of there, so I'm guessing there's some fly fishing going on up that way.
Yes, Pete Creek runs from Lake Orion all the way into Rochester there and then ties in right there. They stock trout in there. Plus, you got everything that comes up from Lake St. Clair. There's a steelhead. I don't know about salmon, supposedly, but if there is, they're kind of small there. But, yeah, I used to fly fish a little bit there myself. But mostly, I went for steelhead over there. There's a one deep hole under Dequindre there by that little park. And but I learned real quick that you don't want to eat any of the fish out of there. Ah, they're nasty.
Oh yeah, that's a shame. That you know, like down by us, we have Red Run, which has been basically a sewer as long as I've lived there. You know, I mean it's not, but it is, and that's always been. It's just, you know, it's a big beautiful river. You know, it really is, and I'm sure at one point, you know, but now it's just sewage from Oakland County. You know, and those aren't ducks as. What was his name? He used to scream on the radio all the time. Who was the guy? He was kind of like before Rush Limbaugh. He was on 1270. Mark Scott. Mark Scott used to pound on the table and say, "Those aren't ducks."
Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, from Yates down there, there's a lot of shops and businesses and a lot of things, and they dump a lot of stuff into the river there, kind of thing. And I took home a nice steelhead from there one time, thinking, "Oh boy, this is going to be good," you know. And I cooked it up, took the first bite, and I just about choked to death.
Yeah, and then if you take any ducks from you know, down this way, they taste like cheese a bit, you know. So it's just the nature of being down this way.
Well, it's not just down that way, I don't think. It's kind of all over. There's deer dying all over the country, EHD. There's just pollution everywhere. It's a nasty thing, but I think people think just, well, okay, you know, the places not around here are okay kind of thing, you know what I mean? But they're not. You think, well, you know, where you buy your eggs, where you buy your food, where you buy this and that, it all comes from somewhere else, and that's okay. It's not as polluted as around here. That's why you just don't pollute anywhere, you know what I mean? It's getting pretty nasty, and there's only one damn world.
Yeah, I see some of these crazy billionaires talking about colonizing Mars for humans. Saying, if you got the money to colonize, you know, to make Mars habitable, you got the money to fix this place. Let's do that first.
Yeah, exactly. It's like everybody takes water, fresh water, for granted, kind of thing. And it's not like there's more and more and more of it all the time being generated or whatever. A lot of the ultra rich have been. The largest concentration of fresh water, from what I understand now, is in South America. And all of the ultra-rich are buying up just huge square miles of ranches and acreages in South America just so they can have whatever's, you know, fresh water is left. We're driving the bus down the wrong way, down the road kind of thing. We need to get something straightened out here. And you're right, we could straighten this stuff out if we wanted to, but nobody seems to want to. But anyway, I'm ranting.
Oh, it's always good to rant, but yeah, it's, you know, and that we got it good compared to, you ever seen some of the squalor, like an Indian, stuff like that, where, I mean, you talk about polluted, the rivers are just floating with garbage, you know? You know, and toxic, and you know, it's the only water, fresh water for you know, for miles. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, when I see some of them places, it just makes me sick, kind of thing. And they think, well, why don't people just get the heck out of there, kind of thing? They can't get anywhere else, you know. And oftentimes wherever you're going to go to is probably just as bad as where you live.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, so, I was thinking, speaking of the water, you know, there's, of course, I think that we haven't even scratched the surface of the battles, the wars for the Great Lake watershed, that I think we're going to see at some point. All these people, all these idiots moved to the desert, and now they're all crying because they don't have enough water. Well, what'd you think? You moved to the desert. You know, now they're saying, well, we'll just take the Great Lakes water. No! You know, it's like, you know, then we're unreasonable. You know, you got all that water. And I heard something that, you know, most of the water in the Great Lakes is, like, so glacial melt that it's not, it doesn't, you know, renew, you know, it doesn't refill, you know, and, you know, the vast majority of it's still glacial melt.
Yeah, you're right, and California already tried that. They wanted to get a pipeline from from the Great Lakes over to California to feed all their lawns and water, and then all of the folks in the desert moving to the desert and now realize we don't have any water kind of thing, but I don't think that went very far for everybody just shut that right down. But they'll be at it again, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, I think it's going to get worse. I think, you know, they've made their opening, you know, their opening shots, you know, got shut down pretty easy now. But I think as time goes on, they get more desperate. I look at the situation of Lake Mead and all that stuff out that way, and, they're at dire straits. They're at the point now where it's, you know, the party's over. And so now they're going to be looking to do things, you know, emergency action stuff, and because they got it, you know, you got to move that water. You can't keep that up there. There's people going, you know, dying down here, you know. So you know, before with Lake Mead and things like that drying up, you're going to have dire straits. I think the real solution is move.
Yep, and then you got like Nestle, corporations like Nestle. They got a water pumping plant in the middle of, right in the middle of the lower there. I can't remember the name of the town. I used to go by it all the time. Anyway, they were pumping. This was quite a long time ago. They were pumping like 1 million, 2 million gallons a day of well water from, you know, underneath Michigan here. And bottling it and shipping it all over the kind of place, and they were always twice what the state is allowing. The state knew about it, and then every few years they allowed them to go 2 million, and then they started pumping 4 to 8 million a day. This has been going on for year after year after year. Everybody's in the area's water tables dropped enough to where they all had to put in new wells. Ponds dried up. The signs were everywhere, but. You know, the corporations, they got to keep on rolling, and the state's got to keep getting that money in their pocket. So, it's just, everywhere you turn, it's just crap.
Oh, yeah, and then you got fracking. Fracking uses an exorbitant amount of water, but more than anything, it's how do they get rid of the wastewater? Because it's the wastewater that's the real problem with fracking. Fracking is a real thing. It's, you know, if done responsibly, and if they account for the wastewater and all that, it's not that big a deal. I know they talked about the earthquakes, but they were there before the fracking. But responsible fracking can be, can be managed. Let's see here. Got a couple of roundabouts I got to deal with here. Always good to pay attention when you're entering a roundabout. Had a woman stop in one earlier today. Stopped in the roundabout to let me on. I'm like, no, go, you're on the roundabout. You know, it's like, God, where do these people learn? Anyhow, I digress.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, they did the same thing over here on Maple. All the way through West Bloomfield here on Maple, they put roundabouts. You just can't go from the north side to the south side of Maple without going through these roundabouts. It gave people, I don't know what it was, a year or so to get used to the roundabouts kind of thing. And now they put traffic lights in the middle of the roundabouts. At each, you know, what used to be one intersection is now turned into four intersections. and they have traffic lights in there so that if the pedestrians want to cross the road, they hit a button, the light turns red, and everything stops. And it's insanity.
That is crazy. I'm getting pretty close to the shop, got about a mile to go, but back, just to circle back on the water thing, you know, I was going to say, you brought up Nestle and, you know, and then the fracking, you know, I brought that up. And, but, you know, another one that's really, I was reading up, you know, what is it about data centers that's got everybody's panties up in a bunch? And, I guess it's the water, I guess they use just exorbitant amounts of water. And power, the power requirement. So, you know, they move into an area and they so compete with the local residents for power and water that their utilities end up going up significantly. And it's like, you know, that's horse crap. And, you know, and then not only that, they have noise and they generate, you know, heat, you know, and the microclimate in and around them changes. And, you know, so between, you know, when you add all that, and then, you know, they have a lot of jobs when they're building them, but after they're built, they employ, you know, 30 people, you know, so it's like they're mostly unattended, you know, so it's not like they bring jobs. So I didn't know what the complaints were about these data centers, but one of them was the water consumption. I guess it's just outrageous.
Yeah, I wondered the same, what everybody was up for about with the data centers. And then so for me, I just figured it was privacy. Just more places to store more data on everything we look at and read and touch and they sell. And then they know better how to market to us and, you know, and kind of thing. So I figured it was all the privacy stuff. But what you were saying makes a whole lot more sense. And, yeah, the fracking, too. I remember watching editorials about people that live near areas that were fracked, and they could take a match at their kitchen sink and light a match under the faucet there, and it would burn. There'd be gas coming out of there.
Yeah, I saw some of that. I think that was in Pennsylvania or somewhere. That was crazy. So my son-in-law works in that industry, and for a little while he was involved with that, and we talked about it quite a bit, and he was explaining the difference between, you know, a lot of the, you know, that's the problem, you know, it's if it's done correctly, you know, and all the environmental, you know, issues are adhered to, you know, then it's a very useful and very productive tool. But, you know, the problem is you get these, you know, people underbid, or they, you know, they get the low bidder, or, you know, these fly-by-night companies that want to get in on the game. Well, they're not doing all the due diligence, and, you know, they're the problem, you know. So, but if you do it right, not a bad thing. All right, Rick, I'm just pulling up here at the shop. I got to get inside, do a few things, and then I can get on my way for my next stops a little bit later on.
Okay, yeah, that reminded me. I remember, I haven't heard about it in a long time, but there's a lot of corporations that ship their toxic, really nasty toxic stuff out to the international water and dump it in 55-gallon drums there, because if they get caught, it's like a $25,000 fine. But to get rid of the stuff legally costs them $1 million. So it's just good business to dump them in the ocean. Anyway, have yourself a good one there, and be careful out there. We'll catch you later. KEAWOJ.
All right. WAW.
AAUHD.
Go ahead. Yeah, you and Sean talking about the roundabouts and the traffic lights, and you can thank the Bernstein that kind of Supreme Court for that years ago when they built one in Oyster Lake, you know, so he could go through because he was sightless. You know, with his, and he does jogging. And then
did that. As soon as they put that round there, I got my... with your other cars. And then...
Anyway, one of the recent talks with people they had on WTR, hey, you know, when you talk to the coaches, you know, and Orchard Lake, you have this nice roundabout in there, and then you're pushing to have them put traffic lights in it. You know, it's going to cost, or redesign it, it's going to cost another a lot of money.
Yeah, I think you're talking about the one on Orchard Lake, right at 14 Mile there. That seems to be the highest accident area in this part of the county, I think. It's kind of ridiculous here. And, you know, everybody thinks, you know, Europe's had roundabouts for, you know, decades, and they work fine. Yeah, the roundabouts in Europe are a half a mile wide. You know, it's a gigantic, huge roundabout. So these are, they try to fit into a an intersection. They're dinky little things. It's not working out. I don't think it's working out as good. People say the traffic faster. It moves traffic faster. That's until somebody gets hit, and then it gets cops in the way. And, you know, it seems like almost every time I went by Orchard Lake, the 14 mile there, there was an accident going on there.
Yeah, I don't know if the lights contributed to it or not. But I drove in Europe for 1 week. And here's all different, I remember, from what I remember, here's all different sizes of roundabouts. I even drove in Paris and Brussels, Belgium, and, you know, a few places like that. And, but it seems to me like, there were big ones, and then there were small ones, too. So, I mean, I got to jump in the story here. I have to talk my experiences there, what I had heard about traffic lights and roundabouts here, and some of the reasons why it is. So, SA73 Pinot, take care. This is KAAUHC.
Okay, KEHD, yeah, Rick on this end. Have yourself a great day and be careful out there. KEHD.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KAPR.
Is it?
Let me check. Yep.
I'm wearing his underwear, right?
That's what it says. So, he's talking about Calvin Klein.
Yeah, what do people do that have their name written in their underwear? What do they do when they are wearing Calvin Klein's? Do they scratch their head and go, who am I?
Well, did you ever see Back to the Future?
I'm kind of, sort of, vaguely... Oh, what the hell's going on here? Be prepared to stop. Oh, okay. They just got one side of the road shut down. Yeah, and what you're going to remind me of, I vaguely remember.
Yeah, he was knocked down the steps, and then when he woke up, he was in his future mother's room, and... She called him Calvin. He says, well, why are you Calvin? Because it's on your underwear.
light. Yes. I knew I kind of remembered that, but yeah, that's right. Good stuff.
Yeah, then it's heading to work. They're going to put a lot of the streets in my in our city. Doing some more resurfacing. So a little fun getting out there. Oh boy, but it'll be better. They just do this thing where they grind it down and put a new layer on pretty quick. Did you get a phone call?
No, I just had a traffic thing distracted me. I'm just heading over to our auction site to see if there's any broken or busted vehicles that I can grab a part off of.
Okay, what part are you looking for?
Looking for a factory shark fin antenna.
Oh, you mean communications antenna off one year old municipal vehicle, right?
Yeah, one of the ones that hopefully we got one that's been wrecked going off the auction. I can grab the old shark fin antenna off the back.
Are those dual fans?
What do you mean by dual band? They're GPS and satellite radio. These are the OEM ones, factory.
Oh, okay, like the one that's on your vehicle now. What are you going to do with another one?
I'm going to tear it apart. Figure out what makes it tick.
All right, and then what?
You ask a lot of questions for a guy who asks a lot of questions.
Curious minds want to know.
Hold on, I got an eye on one, maybe. W it if you right there. Gun deal.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WACD Mobile.
W8FU.
What's up?
How's the world treating you?
Not too bad. A lot of running around today. A little running around to do tomorrow. I'm going to be on the road all day. Run the Lansing. Just stuff like that. How about you?
Busy working, busy playing around with that little Pi Star board, which is, I can see why you're not that fond of DMR. Get into that discussion some other time for lunch or something. And getting ready for the trip. So, 2 weeks and a couple days, there's a lot of stuff you have to pack. And now she wants me to carry a bigger luggage bag, and I have a feeling it's not for me.
yeah, you know that.
And
don't misrepresent getting back to the DMR thing. I don't dislike DMR. I just, it's just, you know, just, you know, all the modes bring something different to the table. And, you know, if you understand their, you know, their limitations and, you know, and what they're going to likely bring, they all, you know, you can't beat DMR, you know, for, you know, that, especially that MI5 network, you know, there's nothing equivalent, period, end of story.
Yeah, I wanted to give it a second, see if somebody else wanted it in. Thought I heard somebody. No, I agree, and I can't believe how fussy it is, but, you know, I'm learning a whole bunch. Learning about deviation, learning about that vessel mall, learning about all sorts of cool things. So I'm trying to get everything spot on. Right now, all I have is digital noise. Sounds like an MRI machine. But I'll get it. I'm not too worried about that part of it. And then, of course, you know, we got daylight savings time and regular time and Ann Arbor time. I thought that was kind of a bridge too far.
Oh, God, don't even get me going on that one. I've seen the explanation, and I'm sorry I don't accept it. I heard some NFL, you know, pros talking about this, and they said this simply would not have been reviewed. And you know, they've been instructed that if the public sees this, do not, you know, I don't know. I just whatever. Don't get me going on it, you know, because I have an obvious bias, and I don't think it's coming into play here. But that'll be the accusation.
I have a bias too. Not the same as yours against that whole system anyway, but I saw a really interesting article that made a lot of sense, and again, it's all conspiracy stuff, you know, until it gets proven, and I have a feeling this isn't going away, but somebody made a comment brought to you by Sportsline, Fandango, and all those other gambling places. The amount of money that these places would have lost if Western pulled it off. And if it gets overturned for some ungodly reason, who knows, where does all of that go, you follow me? And I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of merit to that, because let's say that I bet $100 on Western and it paid $2,000 or something like that, you know, and now all of a sudden it gets overturned. Think of the money.
I don't even know how you deal with that, because the people that, you know, what are you going to do, collect your money back from the people that, you know, that won the other way, you know, as small as it may be? You know, it may have only paid 2-1 or something like that, or not even. It may have paid 10 cents on a dollar, you know, if you took. But, I mean, they didn't cover the spread or nothing, so I can't imagine how much difference an actual flat-out win would have been. But, yeah, I saw that, you know, there's the stadium clock, and there's the television clock, and the game clock, and then there's the Fandango clock. That's the one that they were running.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know if it's true or not. It's just all speculation. But it makes you wonder, you know. I mean, I just don't think it was right. I don't think it was fair, you know, the whole ball of wax. And nobody else saw this magical clock, you know, blah, blah, blah. Makes you wonder. And and then you take a look at all of the, you know, what they say, highest paid quarterback ever, you know, things like that. I mean, there were just too many things. And whatever. I personally think it needs to be investigated by some official other than college sports, you know, for possible criminal activity. If the gambling thing is in play, you know, I just personally think it needs to be, you know, investigated by some law enforcement, unbiased thing, that I do, I really do believe that in my heart of hearts. No matter which way it goes, I do believe it needs to be investigated.
So the crux of it, from what I, everything I've read, I've been reading it up and down, left and right, is that our clock that we all saw, we were wrong. It was zero. And the game clock was zero, and the stadium clock was zero. All those, everything that any human being could see, except for the mystery clock, was, you know, was reading zero. But what they're claiming is there was a higher resolution to three-digit clock that showed tenths of seconds, and it hadn't got to zero yet. But do you realize that that means that they were rounding up? That never happens. Show me any other discipline and any other anything. Show me anywhere where the lower resolution clock rounds up. It doesn't round up. It waits until the higher resolution one hits zero before it drops from one to zero. It doesn't round up. You know, that's the part that, you know, I don't accept their argument. They're saying there was 0.4 seconds left on the mystery clock, and we just saw the other clock, which rounded up. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. That one just reeks to high hell. And like I said, when I just, you know, after reading that, I started wondering if it wasn't a monetary thing, you know, as far as that goes. That's why I think say it needs to be criminally investigated. And, of course, it's just my opinion, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, who cares what good old WABD says and all that other stuff. But, you know, if I was in a position of enforcement, I would, you know, I would, you know, bring it up at a staff meeting, like, okay, is there anything to this? Do we want to get involved? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, just because of the, you know, the financial aspect of it. And, things of that nature. And I don't know, you know, I don't know the numbers. I don't know, was it like 20-1 if they won and only, you know, 6-1 if they didn't cover the spread or something like that? You tell me. So, you know, I don't know how all of that does, because I've only done it a couple, three times, and when I do it, I just do it through my cousin. He does it a lot, and he knows, you know, he does it legally, but he knows all of the spreads, the odds, and things like that. And he's one of those guys that keeps track of everything, you know, money in, money out, blah, blah, blah. And over the course of his life, he's about even, and that's what he said. He says, you know, no matter what he does, he's into poker, he's been on TV a couple times for things like that. And at the end of the day, he says for him it's free entertainment because he's at zero, you know, or pretty close to zero. So I should call him and ask him what he thinks.
Yeah, well, I'm the last guy to buy into a conspiracy theory, and you know, I just, you know, I want to say that this one was, okay, there was an official clock that no one else could see, but the more I try to convince myself that that's what's happened, I just think it's just a ridiculous excuse. It doesn't make sense in any way whatsoever, you know, and it's, you know, that the clock would, that our clocks, that the ones that everyone else see would round up, and the mystery clock would not, you know, would be behind. That is not how it would work in any other discipline, okay? But, yeah, whatever. All right, anyhow, enough on all that. I really wanted to see Western earn that, whether they got it or not. They earned it. I mean, they outplayed them completely, utterly. For them to have that effort taken away from them on a fluky, questionable call, even if it was legit, is a travesty. You know, now they didn't defend that second, you know, the freebie Hail Mary. They didn't defend it well. But, you know, mentally they were coming off of we just won this game. All right, let's just go out there and just knock this stupid thing down. I'm sure mentally they weren't in a place, you know, they weren't as butt-puckered about preventing it as they were the first time. So, you know, so there's that. You can't get that back, you know, so I don't know. All right, I'm at my next stop here. I'm going to jump out and maybe get back on here shortly.
Okay, yeah, I got a 2:15 appointment with a client. Probably take an hour, so running down the center line. After that, I'll be back. A lot of driving. Well, I don't say a lot of driving. For me lately, it's a lot of driving, but who knows? All is well. Talk soon. WABD.
righty. We'll catch you in a little bit. Bellevue, U8FU.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU, Dave Peter.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha Portable.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8RJD.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8RJD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
W8RJD Mobile.
Perfect timing. I just said I love you to my wife as I was hanging up the phone.
W8BBD. Hey, how's it going? Just on my way from one meeting, hopefully my last meeting of the day, but we'll see about that. What's up with you?
On my way to the first night of bowling. Not that I really want to go, but I have to.
Ah, that ain't so bad. I've never been any good at bowling. Bowling is, I've always tried it. Used to like it when I was, you know, used to like it. Actually, I think we just went bowling not that long ago with the family, but never was that good at it.
Well, I'm not that good. I carry a 180 average, roughly, a little plus, a little minus. But, you know, coming back from up north yesterday and then dealing with all the downed trees and the mess and that in the cemetery today at work over 10 mile in Van Dyke at St. Clement Cemetery. I had a couple of big trees get blown over in the storm Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that going around. I had a buddy of mine had a weeping willow tree get blown over into his pond. So now he's got to get the boat out, take the boat out to the tree, and then, you know, chainsaw it, I guess, from the boat. I don't know how he's going to manage this. And I asked him, I said, you know, are you going to hire a tree company to do it? He's like, nah. He's like, they're going to be backed up till November. He's like, I'm just going to take care of it. I don't know. He's braver than I am.
Well, we had a small maple blown over, two pines blown over, a huge maple blown over, and the top of the hugest tree there, blown off, broken up, and a bunch of assorted branches down here and there. So yeah, it's Chainsaw Charlie, and he had one person with him working in the cemetery with me today. You can see that we got something done, but there's a lot more to do.
Man, how long do you guys think you're going to be at it before you get it all taken care of?
Well, right now, he was just trying to get all the dangerous stuff done today. so it's safer, but, yeah, I think we'll be working on it till Friday.
Man, it's just amazing how much, like, you know, one storm, 20 minutes, the amount of damage that it can do. I was, I remember when the storm blew through, I was actually in the courthouse, and they had evacuated everybody down to the basement of the courthouse. And it was, I don't think I'd ever, I worked there for 18 years, didn't see any, them ever do anything like that before, but, you know, I don't know, it seemed, the storm outside seemed like it was bad, but, you know, it wasn't until afterwards that you really kind of heard how much damage it did.
Well, they say Centerline got hit hard. And I find it amazing that basically all the trees that were really damaged were in a line, not straight. It came through at a little bit of a diagonal, but everything was in the same line. And then there was some assorted damage on the outskirts of that. But, yeah, the worst part of it where the tree went down and that, all in a straight line.
Did they confirm a tornado down in Hamtramck, or can't remember where it was down there? I want to say it was Hamtramck. I didn't know if they were, at the time, last I checked, they were sending people out there to confirm it.
I'm not exactly sure the area, but they did confirm one on the east side of Detroit.
That's probably it. And I heard there was another one that was confirmed in Marysville, right?
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah, that's going to keep all the tree companies in business for a while.
Well, the one storm that hit down here hard hit came through the Mount Pleasant, Clare area, Isabella County, Clare County, and it wasn't that bad, but it was a large storm, and they were watching it down there as it was approaching, and, you know, it stopped raining out there, so I went outside, stopped watching the TV. But, yeah, we had off and on a couple of storms go through and some rain while I was up north last week. Now I get to clean up down here, because my boss is on vacation.
Nice. What's the old saying? Everything rolls downhill.
I'm getting tired of this. I'm supposed to be retired, you know. I'm supposed to be relaxing and enjoying life, not cleaning up after straight-line winds.
Yeah, so what? You keep trying to get out, they just keep pulling you back in?
Well, I don't know who decided to hire my doggone family, but my brother-in-law is my boss. His wife's in the cemetery office. My wife's the bookkeeper. My daughter's religious formation. My other daughter. So, yeah, I kind of, you know, can't really pull away too much. Then it, you know, falls on everybody else. Plus, nobody really wants to work for $17 an hour. They supposedly are looking for another able-bodied individual that's an all-around, well, let's just put it this way. They're looking for a jack-of-all-trades.
Yeah, good help is hard to find these days. I'll tell you that. I know that for sure. Especially, like, if you got anybody who has any kind of skill at all, it's really hard. Because they're in demand. Anybody who has the skills, you know, they're sought after, and, you know, they're going to go, and understandably, they go where the money is.
Yeah, well, I'm working for two-thirds less than I was making. I don't know. I guess I thought I was going to, you know, relax and do a couple days a week just cutting grass for them, but, yeah, I bought that lie.
That's pretty typical when you go to work for the family business, which is pretty much what you got there, is the family business.
Yeah, well, they got pictures on the Facebook page, I guess Thursday afternoon. The priest was out there as well with a chainsaw trying to help clean up what they could around the church building and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, well, when it pours, I guess everybody does get involved. But, yeah, I had to run a couple of gas lines on the one chainsaw. And he left the chain off on the other chainsaw. And it kind of left me a mess. Oh, well.
So are you done for the day heading back?
No, I'm just heading to the bowling alley. I'm just about there. I'm going to go throw this rock. Come on, dumbass. Go! Oh, people.
Yeah, they're the worst sometimes. So, where do you bowl? You bowl on the, you over on the east side?
Leave a quarter for the swear jar. Well, if those stupid people wouldn't bowl right out in front of you, like you're not even there. But, yeah, 14 and, well, Garfield is where I'm supposed to be tonight, but that building is not ready yet. So we are at 14 and Shaner. And then every other Saturday I'm here at 14 and Shaner, and every other Sunday I'm at 14 and John R. Astro Lanes, the old Art Sterling, and Fraser Stars Lanes.
Oh, yeah. Very familiar. Yeah. Well, good luck tonight with the... Hopefully you... although, I don't know. It's going to be tough to bowl tonight after driving all the way down from up north and then cutting up trees all day. It's going to be a rough night for you.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's the beginning of the year, so if you don't set the highest of averages, that helps you for the first couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. That's one way to look at it, yeah, especially because this is, did you say this was the first one of the year?
Yes, sir. Absolutely the first night of bowling for the whole year. And I get to miss my Sunday league and miss Tuesday next week and Sunday of the Saturday of the following week because I'll be in Tennessee. So absolutely the first week of the year.
Not bad. Where do you go in Tennessee?
My wife's stepfather lives by Crossville, I believe it is. Used to be Kingston over by 7540, but he moved when my mother-in-law passed away. He's closer to his sister now.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny, I lived in Crossville, let's see, a few years growing up, and then we always went down there because my grandparents lived down there, my aunt and uncle lived down there. We had a house. We had a farmhouse, not there anymore, obviously, but we had a farmhouse right off of I-40. I'm trying to remember. We were near, Fairfield Glade community, but we were maybe about a mile and a half away from that, right off of, but our back of our property backs right up to I-40.
Yeah, well, they used to be on the side of the mountain opposite, across the river from where the TVM was there in Kingston, but. Like you said, when my mother-in-law passed away, he couldn't handle living in the house they designed and built together, so he moved over towards Crossville where his sister lives. All right, Donald, I heard you in there. Yeah, I got 25 cents, almost enough to buy breakfast with. And I will talk to everybody later. I pulled into the parking lot, and I am parked. On your finals, WADPD, I'll be clear.
Talk to you later. Good night tonight. Have a good night tonight. 73W8RJD.
Is that Brian? Police Department again? Yes, sir, Jack. Just pulled into the bowling alley.
I just want to see how you're doing, that's all. Go ahead and go. We'll talk later. KFACRC.
Well, glad to hear you're jerked enough to be on the radio. WABP, I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Jack, it's good hearing you on the radio. KF8DRC, W8RJD.
Yeah, after 10 days in the hospital, I really didn't feel like doing nothing. But then, you know, yesterday I was a little bit good, and today a little bit better. And I heard Brian out there. I said, let me talk to Brian first.
Well, are you feeling better today?
Yeah, I'm feeling better, yeah, but, you know, the recovery is just this time. And those damn people there at the hospital, they're not worth a shit, all of them.
I hear that. Well, hey, Jack, I just pulled into the driveway. I gotta say 7-3s, but it's good to hear you on. I'm glad to hear you back. KF8DRC, this is W8RJD. I'll be clearing your final.
Okay, good talking to you. Take care and have a good evening. KF8DRC.
Jack, you owe the swear jar a quarter, just like Brian does. Good to hear you, my friend. Good to hear your voice. W8RCY.
Oh, thank you, Donald. Yeah, I haven't heard you. I haven't turned the radio on for almost a month and a half. Because that's what happened. You know, the days in the hospital and before and all that. I just didn't have a chance to do nothing. So that's why. But good to hear you, Donald. You take care and you have a good evening. KFAGRC.
Likewise, sir. You rest up. You take care of yourself. You're priority number one. The radios will still be here. And the East Coast Reflector, I've asked about you. I've not given away any details, but I have told them I've heard from you and that, you know, you are recovering is about all I said. But you are missed on the East Coast Reflector. That's for sure. They do miss you. Go rest up, take it easy, and we'll talk to you down the road. W8RCY.
Thank you, Donald. Take care. Have a good evening. KFAGRC.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W-A-D-D.
Please tell us your troubles.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Jeffrey. K-A-B-B.
Mike. K-F-A-E-D-Q.
My mistake. I mistook your voice for somebody else. My name here is Don. K-A-B-B. Give me the call one more time. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem, Don. This is Mike in Saginaw. It's Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Delta, Quebec. And I'm just chilling here, having a smoke, getting ready to go to bed. What are you up to?
Very good, Mike. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. I got done with that just a little while ago myself. I was on the back patio with a cigar and a bourbon. And just made my way down here to the shack. Looking at 30 meters, and there's not much happening.
Yeah, that's not too surprising. I haven't looked at the forecast in the last couple of hours, but when I checked it this morning, the conditions, HF propagation conditions were not going to be very good. Oh, it looks like they straightened out for 20 meters, but there's probably not. Oh, you should be good on 30 meters. I guess I don't know what the problem is. I don't do much on 30 meters. I don't know how popular it is. I'm usually on 20 or 40 doing POTA. I like to play 10 when it's open.
Yeah, I was, I saw some stuff earlier that there was a flare or a glancing blow or something like that from the sun, and I expected things to be kind of worse. And, yeah, I guess they're not so bad. I haven't slipped much. I dialed through 20 meters, there wasn't much happening, and I landed on 30, tried a little FTA, a little CW, see what happens. And maybe I'll make my way to 40 if it's better. The A index is pretty high, so I don't know if this is going to happen on 40 or 80, but we'll see. Haven't done any POTA activations. I'll chase POTA stations on the air once in a while, but haven't concentrated much on that. Maybe I should add that into what I'm doing.
Yeah, Roger, Don. You play a little POTA. You find a park that's not far away from you and set up. If you've never tried it, it is a load of fun. You feel like a celebrity. Everybody wants to talk to you. You can post your frequency, find a frequency, post it on the POTA app or on World Radio League or something like that. And then FT8 is also fun on POTA. I just did that for the first time this last weekend. I like to go up to the Estable River. And I camp right on the river and here on National Forest. And so I set up right there at my camp, and I started out at 25 watts on FT8, which was way too much. I quickly ran my battery down. Well, I mean, when I say quickly, it took the course of a day, but I think in the future I'm going to run 10 watts or 5 watts when the battery gets low, but yeah, doing POTA, that's a blast. I really don't do that much HF when I'm at home.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I haven't, like I said, I haven't done any activations.
But yeah, there's a ton of stuff around here, though. I'm in Pontiac, and so it takes, I guess it takes a little bit to get to, like, actual state parks. But there's some around here. And being near the city, there's, I know they're activated by lots of other operators. So I don't know how special I would be, but it'd be fun to try. I've got a little K2 QRP radio that I've always enjoyed using. I'll set that up on the back patio sometimes and just hook it up to my regular, you know, house antennas. I've got a patch cable where all the antennas plug into a patch cable before they come in the house, so it's easy to unscrew it and, you know, plug the full-size home antenna right into the QRP radio and sit on the patio. It's kind of cool. 5 watts goes a long way when you've got a full-size dipole. But anyway, I don't do a lot of FT8. I've done some, and I've kind of handicapped myself to 30 meters. You know, there's a 200-watt power limit in Region 2 here on 30. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to do FT8, I'll at least handicap myself to that. And obviously operating from home, there's no issues with the battery power. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense because it's a high enough duty cycle that you've got to be thinking about your batteries. Yeah, I should try that one of these times. Haven't done that yet, but I've got a POTA login, so I look at the website once in a while and I see some of the other activations and spot stations from time to time.
Yeah, Don, it's a load of fun. You know, people are really into it. Some of these guys are out there doing multiple parks every single day. I'm not that guy. But, you know, I'll do it, you know, probably 2 or 3 times a month, do an activation. There are two parks that are not far away from my QTH, which is here in Saginaw. And so I've activated the one time, but I've activated, like, over the course of a couple weekends, I think I've activated here on National Forest 7 times now. And this last time I went out, I made 136 contacts, and I only was able to play radio half the time because I killed my battery. Wasn't thinking too far ahead on that one. But yeah, it's a blast. And I think you said you got a KX2. I was looking at those. Man, that's a nice radio. And I really like that I think they're made in the U.S., which is probably my favorite feature of them. But, man, do they make a nice, tiny radio. And if I were to get an Elecraft, that's the one I'd get, too.
Yeah, no, the KX2 is a great radio. The one I have is the older K2. That's, I think at this point it's about, I don't know, came out in the late 90s, mid-90s. It's kind of an earlier version. It doesn't have that sort of thin profile. It's kind of it's a deep box, like a miniature version of a regular radio. But it's got the internal battery and the internal antenna tuner, so it runs. I think it gets about 10 watts maximum. I think I've only ever run it about 5 watts QRP, but it's fun. I just haven't done much with it. I haven't done. Last summer, a little bit, and this summer, almost nothing. Work's been busy, and I haven't had much time to get out, and a little bit of laziness, too. So, I should do something about that. I see every now and then I'll, you know, go through the QRZ forums or the QTH.com forums, and I'll see the, you know, the buddy pole, portable dipoles on the tripod. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna throw a dipole up at tripod, and get the thing up about 15 or 20 feet and have a signal on the air, and I think I would imagine about 20 meters and up, 17, 15 meters, 12 and 10 meters, but pretty good signal on one of those. I don't think you'd get much on, you know, below that, but I just haven't done it. I need to do that. I need to make it a priority to get out there and try that one of these days, I always say.
Yeah, gotcha. You should try it. The biggest decision that you get to make when you're doing POTA is what antenna are you going to take? Because I usually run, because you get a good setup, then it doesn't really matter what your wattage is. You're getting out. So I usually take, it's a Wolf River Coil Silver Bullet 1000. I think it's the Platinum Edition. It's the best one that they had. I ordered that one because you can run full power everything on that. But it is a bit overkill. I have six radios on it, and I absolutely love that radio. I love that antenna. I've contacted Europe several times, on FT8 with it. Lots of South America, and of course, even more in the United States on 20 and 40 meters, on 10 meters. I use it for field day, and I'm a huge fan of dipoles, so I've got some radio waves, 20 and 40 meter single bands dipoles, and I recently put in an order on DX Engineering for a 2040 dual band NFED half wave. So I'm looking forward to getting that out here and seeing what it'll tune to.
KF8DDQ from K8DB. That's cool. I've not used any of the Wolf River antennas, although I'm familiar with them. I've seen them. I'm a big fan of a half-wave dipole. I'm kind of a, snob like Ralph. Any antenna I don't need a tuner with is a good antenna. If the antenna has a natural resonance, it's helpful, especially if you're running low power. I've not used many NFED antennas, although I get the idea that half-wave, you don't need a counterpoise, and, the transformer gets more of your watts onto the wire, and less feed line loss and all that. I also know that, putting a dipole up in the field is twice the work. You got to hang the thing from two different ends and all that. But I use mostly just half-wave dipoles here at home. But that would be fun. I do need to do that. I know that, with a half-wave dipole and, maybe 50 or 100 watts out of a radio, you can be pretty darn loud on CW and sideband, and obviously on FT8 you can be pretty loud with much less power. So, like I said, one of these days. I've got a little go bag. It's got the radio in it, and a microphone, and a key, and all the cables, and a notepad and pen, and another battery. Another bag that has a battery in it, and I've got a little solar panel. It's about a 2x3 solar panel a West Mountain radio doodad that'll charge the panel the panel will charge the battery if it's getting enough voltage from the sun. That obviously extends the life. I've used it for field day a few times, kind of here at home and elsewhere. Haven't gone really out in the field with it, but there's a local group, the USECA Club, Utica Shelby Emergency Communications Association. They do a lark in the park. It's an informal group of guys that get together on various weekdays. Tends to be Wednesdays or Saturdays. And they go to either Stony Creek Park here nearby or Metro Beach, neither of which is a state park. They're just local metro parks. But there's always a handful of guys that go, and they set up portable rigs and put antennas in trees and stuff and have a good time. I think they've got an outing scheduled for this Thursday. I'm likely working Thursday if I can figure out how to have some appointments. Maybe I'll try to get out there and stop by, but not sure about that.
KBB, KFAEDQ. All right, Don. I think it's getting close to my bedtime. I think it is. Yep, 1 minute past. But I'm glad that we got a chance to talk today, and maybe we'll get to do it again. I'm usually on in the mornings. I'm used to listening to the usual crowd around 7:30, and I talk a little bit in the morning, but I don't get a chance to talk on the radio till in the afternoon or evenings even. And uh, So I'm just out here. I'm having my last cigarette and go to bed. So I heard you. Wanted to shout out. Thanks for having a chat with me. KFA EDQ, I'll be clear on your final.
Heard it, Mike. Yeah, nice chatting. I'm glad you came back. I just thought I'd throw my call out and see if anyone was there, and here we are. Yeah, nice making your acquaintance, and enjoy the last smoke. I'm usually not up quite that early. My business hours usually start around 9, so 7:30. I'm just kind of hitting the snooze bar and getting out of bed and stuff, but I know that there's a bunch of guys on from, you know, 7 to 8, and morning commute and all that. I should listen a little more often. But, yeah, nice chatting, and we'll catch you next time. KF8EDQ from K8BB.
Connected to CMN Network.
Whiskey 8, Bravo, Papa, Delta.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W-Wave.
Currently connected to CMN Network.